Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Mental health and lifestyle changes. You know, over the years, we have always heard the little phrase, good friends make good medicine. Well, you know, it's more than that. Let me give you a little different phrase altogether. Therapeutic lifestyle changes make powerful medicine. Okay, what do we mean by lifestyle changes, and how is it medicine? You know, for us. Well, recently an article was written by Dr. Roger Walsh. Roger is a psychiatrist, University of California in Irvine. He's a professor of psychiatry and philosophy and anthropology and a professor of religious studies. So he's got a kind of a wide-ranging view of life and interest, and has done research and has studied other people's research, and has come up with kind of a concept here that therapeutic lifestyle changes make powerful medicine. Let's take a look at what Dr. Walsh is talking about and how he unfolds this whole particular, you know, topic. Obviously, he's saying this, that if we live a certain way, we will benefit. If we live a different way, we'll benefit from that, whether it's good or bad. And essentially what he's saying here is that if you live a life that's therapeutic, that's constructive, that's healthy, that's positive, it's a cheap way to get therapy. It's inexpensive. Change can be brought about easily just over the course of day-to-day living. So he identifies eight issues or eight ways in which people can alter their lifestyle and benefit in their own mental health. He starts out with exercise. Not that that's the most important, but he does indicate that it is highly important. A good brain is like a good heart. A bad brain is like a bad heart. So we can reduce our anxiety, depression, insomnia, and we can reduce the risk of neurodegenerative diseases and disorders, such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, through exercise. Exercise can improve school performance in children. It can enhance cognitive functions in elderly people. And it can increase the size of the hippocampus, which is very important in memory. So, get going. Move your body. Get your exercise. You know, and make it a lifestyle. Make it a pattern of behavior. 3 days a week minimum. 4 days a week is better. You don't have to exercise every single day. But get that body exercising. Whether you walk, you swim, you go to the gym, or whatever it is, get an hour of activity. Get a minimum of 20 minutes of activity. That's exercise. Okay, that's number one. Here's number two, he says, is diet. Diets must be multicolored vegetables and fruits. Multicolored vegetables and fruits. It's kind of, some people call this the rainbow diet, along with fish. And the benefits are yours. It'll enhance school performance in children. It'll preserve the cognitive functions in adults, particularly elderly adults. Reduce symptoms in various disorders such as schizophrenia and mood disorders. Fish oil supplements may significantly reduce the progression to the first episode of psychosis in high-risk kids and youth. You know, it's not uncommon for a kid who's at risk, who's had problems in life and family problems in life, to have a psychotic kind of an experience when they hit in the late teens or the early 20s. Fish oil can help delay that or even prevent that. Here's what he's saying on number three, nature. Spend time in nature. Let it clear your head. It can improve your emotional and your spiritual well-being. Meditate in nature. Let it enhance your cognitive functions. Get some thought. Get some creativity. Let it reduce the symptoms of depression and your symptoms of ADD if you have it. Yet we are conducting uncontrolled experiments as a nation. What are we doing? We're increasingly living isolated lives, indoor lives, using artificial light rather than natural light. We're divorcing ourselves from the very thing that can be constructive and healthy and helpful. Here's his next point. Relationships. You know, it's well known that family and friends are important to all of us. Friends do make good medicine. We do need to have relationships. You need to be where people are. You need to be out where the action is. You need to be where the interactions take place around you and benefit from them. We have to listen to the old sage philosopher, Epicurus. Here's his statement. Of all the means which are procured by wisdom to ensure happiness throughout the whole life of an individual, by far the most important is the acquisition of friends. Now that's centuries ago, and it holds today as well. We need friends in our life. It will bring to you a sense of happiness. It will bring to you a sense of peace. It will bring to you a sense of satisfaction. It will bring to you a mental enrichment. People bring enrichment with them as they share their lives and you share your life. Here's the next point they say. Recreation and other kind of enjoyable activities are essential and important to be with friends and doing together with friends. It's therapeutic. It's fun. Get recreational. Enjoy activities. Find the activities that you enjoy, that you've always enjoyed, and get going on them. Experience them again. And then here's his next point. Engage in relaxation. It's a stress management tactic and strategy. Relaxation reduces anxiety, it reduces stress disorders, it reduces depression, it reduces insomnia. Meditation is most extensively researched. And we know that as people relax and engage in meditation or positive thinking, they become enriched. Biochemically, they become enriched. Physiologically, they become enriched. Neurologically, they become enriched. And behaviorally, they become enriched. You enhance your well-being through stress management. Manage your stress. Get your body down to calm, to empathy. Bring out the empathy. Let your mental experiences be that of peace and calm and tranquility. And then he goes on to add another point. Religious and spiritual involvement is essential to reduce anxiety, depression, and substance abuse, and other such disorders. The more you are engaged in spiritual and religious activities and meditation, the greater the psychological and the marital well-being will be in your life. And you know what? You'll live longer, too. Studies have shown that to be true. And then his last point is this. Make contributions to other people. Serve other people. Produce what is called the helper high. When you help somebody, you get a positive experience from that. You enhance your own well-being. You enhance your own joy through generosity as you share it with others. Altruism is a benefit for all of us. Not just the person who receives your altruism, but you as you give altruistically to other people, whether it's money, it's a thing, it's an object, it's time, it's service, it's caring, it's your empathy, you know, whatever it is, money, give to other people, enrich their lives, and accordingly, your life will be enriched as well. But be careful. You don't want to be a caretaker burnout. You know, you don't want to get involved in people's lives that require enormous amount of care and enormous amount of time, and they place a lot of demands on you, because if that's the case, you'll get caretaker burnout. You got to balance it. But give. Give to other people and let them become a recipient of your generosity and your caring. The American Psychological Association, in their magazine a couple years ago, came up with a quote that's very germane to this particular issue. But let me read the quote and we'll end with it, okay? Sociologically, while industries are geared towards encouraging unhealthy choices, patients contend with a daily barrage of psychological sophisticated advertisement encouraging them, for example, to consume alcohol, consume nicotine, consume fast foods. That is a never-ending search in which the food industry calls the bliss point or the eat-attainment through hyper-eating. It goes on to say this, unfortunately, you can never get enough of what you don't really want, but you can certainly ruin your health and your life by trying. See, society works against you. It puts before you a plethora. It puts before you a smorgasbord of unhealthy choices. And when you engage in those unhealthy choices, you'll reap the benefits of unhealthy choices. In other words, an unhealthy lifestyle. But if you go to the smorgasbord table and you choose well, you choose healthy foods, you choose healthy lifestyle, you'll benefit that way as well. So it's not just the nicotine, it's not just alcohol, drugs of any kind, particularly the marijuanas and the opioids and the drugs that are so easily obtained today and that our voters want us to have, that puts before you a smorgasbord of choice of unhealthy choices. Don't bite. Don't go there. Don't shop at that store. Don't eat at that restaurant. Don't go to that grocery store. Stay away from those kind of businesses. You want to indulge your life in choices that are healthy. Not only healthy physically, but healthy mentally. And healthy in your sociological world, as well as your own physical world. So there you are. Live well, live healthy, engage in therapeutic lifestyle, and you know what? You'll reap a therapeutic benefit for all areas of your life. So there you are. It's your choice, but use it well. Make a good choice. Bye for now.